Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, and welcome to the Amateur Otaku Podcast. How is everybody doing out there? I am Brandon Alvarado, the Scarlet Fan here, and I'm very excited to be back here to talk about awesome anime in this amazing format. The Amateur Otaku Podcast is available on YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcasts, where all podcasts are found. So, and if you're on our YouTube channel, make sure to click on the like button and click on the bell for notifications. We have a great episode for you guys. We're going to be talking about Fena, Pirate Princess, the awesome Adult Swim / Crunchyroll original series that came out a couple months ago. And we have a special guest, someone from the cast, which surprisingly enough is one of our good friends of the show. So we're very, very proud of this gentleman, really great and happy to bring him forward. And it's going to be me, my great friend, Isaac Wolf, and we are very excited to welcome the great Rob Moreira, the voice of Yukimaru Sanada. What is up, Rob?
Wow, that is a hell of an intro. I hope I can live up to that, to all of that.
Definitely. I'm not surprised if you can. Isaac, can you imagine? You're the one that always said that Rob was like a legend in the making. I mean, back when we talked about Pokemon, and I think we did one with Castlevania or something, but we're finally talking about something that he's doing, and he's been doing awesome stuff. Are you excited, Isaac?
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why I asked him for it.
Yeah. It's so good. Your career, Rob, has been like this roller coaster of awesome stuff. And it's awesome how we've been witnesses of it. Like for the last, what, 2, 3, 4 years? It's just been... over like a great avalanche of things. And I love the fact that we're able to talk to you about something from our neck of the woods.
Indeed.
Thank you for taking the time to hanging out with us.
Yeah, of course, man. How could I not, man? Like you said, we're all buddies. So the minute that Isaac asked, I was like, it's kind of a no-brainer. Yeah, obviously I'll jump on, of course.
Yeah. So now this show has kind of blown up on Twitter, which is actually pretty awesome. Like I hadn't seen the show till now, when I actually started binging it to prepare for interviewing you and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And it's a very sweet and charming show. Yeah. But now like a lot of the Twitter feeds that I've been seeing throughout the months are finally making sense, especially right. All of them revolving your character, because of course I have your alerts turned on, so I see you changing the pictures from here, like, you know, jumping in the live streams and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then everything with the cute, with the bonk and the relationship, and it was just what a great character, what a great you've been having the time of your life. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, it's really been awesome. I mean, when it's interesting because Fena Pirate Princess was an original, it's an original anime. So there are no real expectations. Like, you don't know really what to expect. You just know you're working on a project. You know it's original. So you kind of just go from there. The hype was literally just built by the trailer and nothing else, you know. Normally, animes have a very long history of manga to look at. So people know not necessarily what to expect, but they know what to be excited about. And that wasn't necessarily the case with Fena. So it was very interesting to kind of see people at first, you know, when the trailer dropped, some people kind of be excited, like, oh, this is cool. Another pirate anime. Okay. So that makes what, two now, you know, between them, between this and One Piece, and people love One Piece.
Of course, you have no competition.
Exactly. So, and everybody loves One Piece. So it was kind of like, all right. But because it was also led by a female character, a lot of people were excited about that as well. Not to mention, Production IG just does redonkulous work.
Yes.
As you saw from the actual show, it's a gorgeous show. It's amazing to look at. Not to mention the performances, you know, by both the English speaking and the Japanese speaking cast, and then that opening and closing number, you know, which is so damn catchy. It's so good. It's so good. I jumped into it, and you don't know what to expect. And then as the episode started to drop, people really started to get hype. And, you know, some people immediately fell for some of the characters, and to others, it took a while for, you know, certain characters to kind of grow on them. You know, the initial love for everybody was Shiton, because he that was his role. You know, he was the very attractive, you know, seductive character, you know, and then obviously Fena, because she's cute, quirky, and kind of all over the place. And Yukimaru was an interesting one, because it was like, he's so stoic and he doesn't have a massive personality that you don't know how people are going to take it. And me as the actor, I was like, oh man, you know, did I perform him? You know, obviously I performed him to the best of my abilities. Otherwise the director would have told me otherwise. So, you know, they were happy with my performance. I was happy with my performance. And, you know, thankfully Nakazawa-san obviously was, you know, happy with the performance as well. Cause he was able to hear everything before it was released. So I'm like, listen, those are really the three people. Those are the three groups that I want to be happy. Right. Anything else is just kind of gravy at this point. And seeing everybody finally, especially, I believe it was episode three when, Yukimaru really like kind of came out and showed his stuff. I think that's when everybody was like, whoa, hold on. Who's this dude?
Yep.
And it just kind of like snowballed from there. And I got to tell you, the ship community for Yukimaru and Fena is amazing. Amazing people. I've met so many of them on Twitter, and they are all just fantastic individuals. They love those characters so much, and to have been a part of that, to have them get the, you know, build that love for these characters was just incredible. But, you know, truth be told, I was not expecting the love that the show got the way it did. I didn't know what to expect. And then seeing it week to week, and also, you know, being fairly available when people, you know, tweeted, you know, just artwork, and I would be like, hey, that looks cool. You know, I'm not like, hey, looks cool, AKA voice of Yukimaru. Like, I wasn't being obvious. You know, I was kind of like, hey, this artwork looks fantastic. You know, this is a really great job. And then I'll retweet it, and it would always be like, oh my God, you saw my art. You shared it. Thank you so much. And I'm like, I'm just a dude. It's cool, man. Yeah, I'm just appreciating the love, man, and it's so cool. But yeah, it's been a hell of a ride,
I can only imagine how awesome the ride has been, because I think I know for a fact this is not your first anime project,
correct?
Right, but is this like the first one where you've been pretty much in a supporting, active, leading role, kind of?
I'd say this is probably the biggest, because my first character that was, you know, basically in that capacity was with was in Bungo to Alchemist, but that one was you know, that was kind of an ensemble cast, right? You know what I mean? You know, while Fena was very much like, you know, Fena is the, you know, she's the focus, and then Yukimaru very much quickly became, you know, her supporting
or the focus,
her supporting guy to a capacity, then became the focus as well, right? So, you know, so it was a little bit different, but yeah, no, when I did Sakonosuke Oda for Bungo to Alchemist, I mean, that was a pretty large project as well, because I think it was 15 episodes and I was in about 13 of them. So
that's beautiful.
So that was a pretty long form project. So this definitely wasn't my first, but this was definitely the most intricate in being done.
Gotcha.
Because it was an original anime. So, you know, there wasn't anything to look at. I mean, you know, this is, you know, behind the scenes stuff, but there was points where I was dubbing and some animation wasn't even done yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it was that early on.
Yeah, like the Japanese voice actors had already laid down all their stuff, so I was able to hear what they were doing. Pardon me. But like, there were some episodes where certain parts of the anime weren't actually finished yet.
So that has to be very interesting. And before we, because I do want to touch on that, but I loved hearing you talking about being now on the other side of it. Like, you've seen fandom. You're part of fandom.
Yeah, exactly. I am a fan. You know, I know what it is to be, you know, a diehard.
Right,
fan
and now being on this side.
Oh, it's interesting. You know, it's very interesting. It's definitely not like anything crazy, but again, it's brand new. You know, so it is different. It has the capacity to potentially be bigger, you know, moving forward. And you know, knock on wood, hopefully we'll see a season two. But yeah, so like if that happens, I mean, I could definitely see the fandom continue to grow if it were to continue.
And the anime community is very particular,
which
I love how you're
and very protective.
Yeah, very protective of what they love.
Yes, you know, they're so protective of
you're their, part of that cloak characters. Of protective people now.
yeah, it's really interesting. You know, to kind of get this, like, you know, like you said, you know, it's that like this shield of fans, because they want to shield you, and they want to show, you know, they want to show you how much they care about you, and you know, they don't want to see anybody, you know, being jerks about the show or the performances or whatever the case may be. They're incredibly respectful, which is really great. But yeah, like you said, I mean, anime fans are some of the most diehard people that I've encountered from this side now. It's kind of like, whoa, yeah, I get it. It's wild. And I appreciate it. Everybody's been so incredibly nice, so incredibly kind, super supportive. So it's cool. And as a voice actor, you know, you do the job. Mm-hmm. And when you do the job, you're not expecting, you know, people to, you know, shower you in accolades or anything. But when it happens, it's kind of like, oh man, like, it's so cool to have your work appreciated by the people actually watching it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one of the things that you were mentioning about the production stage, which I didn't ever imagine that it was that you worked on it at that level or at that point.
Yeah, it was that original.
yeah. Because of course, like you said, when you started talking about the production process, most famous, I think that's the word I'm looking for, most famous animes or world-known animes are based on a manga that already existed for years, or that has been like promoted by fans themselves. And because a lot of the original animes that we see are the result of successful manga sales.
Exactly.
So the fact that you have an original IP that is anime first is very rare, and also one of the biggest risks. And I think the response, the response of Fena, like it's very good. It's an amazing, great, phenomenal response for the type of show that it is. And I love that about it, and I'm enjoying every minute of it. And I'm glad that you're getting that love, because you've been working so hard, and we've been admiring you from day one.
Thank you.
Now, also, one of the cool things is that to think that you're part of a show that's up there with shows like Cowboy Bebop, Samurai Champloo, which are originally animes. Like, that's one of those shows that took that risk, that took that leap, because not a lot of shows have that in their pedigree.
Very true.
You know what I mean? And that's awesome to be part of. Now, when it came to building the character, being that at least the Japanese voice acting work was available, was it available to you, or was this you building the character yourself from the ground up? Because it's not the same. You don't have any source material. All you have is a script.
So that
I can imagine that this was of a completely different experience, because it's not like a regular dub, like probably with Bungo and the Alchemist, I would assume.
Right.
How was that experience? Or how much of the Japanese side did you have to help you?
Well, that's the thing. When you're doing an anime, I mean, you don't get anything prior to your session. You know, you don't get materials prior to the fact. You pretty much see the script, you know, probably, you know, an hour before you actually record it.
Oh, wow.
And that's the script. But in terms of the character, but for that first time that you start to record, that's when you start to build the character with the director. That's that first episode you record is the most important, because that's the episode that sets the tone for the character moving forward, especially if they have some kind of arc. Now, Yukimaru, I'll give you guys the full disclosure, but when I auditioned for Shitan, Makaba, and Yukimaru. I auditioned for all three of them.
Interesting.
When I auditioned for them, though, Yukimaru was the one that I wanted the most. he's the one that I really fell in love with. I loved Shitan. Like, I thought he was a really cool character. And Makaba was, they're all really great characters. But in my head, I was like, man, there was something in me that was like, I feel like I could really rock this dude. Like, I don't know what it was about the specs of the character, but like the picture that they showed of him is the one when he's still rocking the samurai helmet in that first episode. Nice. And he's holding out the wooden bouken.
Yeah.
Just after he hit Fena and he's kind of like looking down on her. It was that picture. And I saw it and I was like, oh man, there's just something about this dude. Like, I feel like, I don't know. There's some connection there. I felt something. But I did my auditions. I sent it off, and then I let it rock. You know, as a voice actor has to do, because I'm auditioning every day. So I don't dwell on auditions. I typically forget about them probably within the week. If it's something that I felt a connection to, it probably lasts a week. Typically, an audition, I'm kind of over it within the day. So I did it. I sent it. I was like, man, that'd be cool. And then whatever, time passed on. When I heard back and I heard that I got Yukimaru, I was like, wait a second. Cause I had to now go back through the Rolodex of auditions in my head. Who was this guy? I remember this anime, but I don't remember who this guy was. And when I went back to the specs and I saw the picture, I was like, oh man, yes, this was the dude. This was the guy.
Yeah.
This was the guy that I fell in love with. Oh man, I was not expecting that. So I was immediately like so super stoked. So at the time I already kind of had an idea. Again, that's the beauty of specs when you're auditioning, is that they tend to be very detailed. So that helped a lot already in terms of how the character was going to be. But working with Michael Sinter Nicholas, the voice director, working with him, we then in that first episode really nailed down one, his sound, but more importantly, how Yukimaru conducted himself. And that was the most important. The way he conducted himself is what dictated how he spoke. Yeah. So the most important thing that I had to keep in mind is that to him, his mission is number one. That's above everything. You know what I mean? Because he's not traditional samurai. This is a ninja squad.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is a ninja squad. So it's very different. So it's not like, oh, I hold honor and like whoever I'm serving. No, to him, it's like there's the mission and there's nothing else. But while performing, I had to still keep that one little 5% in the back of my head that he knows exactly who Fena is. And there's something there. And basically, as the episodes progressed, that 5% kept increasing.
Right.
And that's how basically I attacked doing Yukimaru, was that, especially when interacting with her. And I think it was like episode maybe like 3 or 4 that when he like barks at her on the Bonito because she's being so reckless and he just like yells. It's not an anger of like, oh, such a petulant child. It's an anger of like, oh man, she needs to stop grabbing my attention. Good or bad, what I mean? And by defining those intentions, it really helped kind of crystallize who he was and how to perform him accordingly. He wasn't easy. I'll tell you that. He was not easy to kind of like laser focus in on. And it's very easy to waver. So, I always give props to actors that do anime regularly. Because it's tricky. It's tricky. You really do have to become these characters.
Isaac? Isaac?
Do you guys hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, we can, sir.
Yeah, good. I was just thinking, we had sort of like a similar question with Ryan Colt when we talked to him, but did Did you have any conversation with the Dunder Wars actors when you tried to work with Roloff?
Oh, interesting. So did I actually get to speak with Ryota? I did not. I'm only speaking for myself, but I didn't have any conversation with him. So, but I did, I was able to hear his performance.
I was talking about general anyone in the cast, be it Brittany Cox or
if I communicated with them.
Yeah, during the recording.
Oh, I mean, we spoke, but we didn't necessarily, you know, kind of like collaborate per se, because, you know, all of our sessions were kind of all over the place. You know, one thing to keep in mind is that some of us were on the East Coast and some of us were on the West Coast. So we're talking about a 3-hour difference, not to mention all of us have other projects that we work on at the same time. So it wasn't like we were all working at the same time together, you know? So it's interesting to hear how amazing it sounds, because none of us were actually recording next to each other, you know? Yet the chemistry is very much still, it is very present, which just kind of, you know, shows the caliber of actors that were working on this project overall.
And especially for the character that you have, because when you mentioned the specs and you mentioned the image, it makes you think, because when you think about it, when it comes to these warriors, their design is overly simplistic, especially for the type of show that it is and the genre. Yeah. Like, you're used to seeing, if you're going to see a ninja, you're going to see one that has like all the bells and whistles all over the suit. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are overly slick. Yeah,
yeah, and they all kind of wear the same outfit, just color scheme is different. That's all.
Yeah, and the weapon style, and of course, the stance. And the weapons. But then when you think about Yukimaru and that particular like a video image, exactly. Yeah. Like the beginner level, right? Like, you have the least amount of equipment. But with Yukimaru, which is why I feel that your performance was so awesome, is that he is all presence. Yes. Like, it's not as much as the voice or what he communicates. Like, he's all presence.
Yeah.
Like Batman.
He kind of, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. He definitely makes himself known, you know, like,
for
a ninja, he's not silent. You know, he has he has an aura to him.
Right.
Yeah,
and the ensemble cast is so great, because if it wasn't because everybody pulled their own, put their best foot forward, a character like this wouldn't work.
You're absolutely right, because out of all of them, you know, if you were to talk about personality, he's the one that has the least to a capacity.
In terms of a loud personality.
Because the thing is, by comparison, Shiton is schmoozy, debonair, and cool. Right. You know, which is why everybody loves Shiton. And then Karin, I mean, she's freaking hilarious. She's the freaking spitfire of the crew. And then you got Enju and Kaede, who are just hilarious. You know, clearly they're the comic relief, along with Tsubaki. I thought Tsubaki was a little bit of comic relief as well. Yeah. But he's kind of like the dad. You know, he kind of kept everybody in line. And then Makaba was the gentle giant. You know, like, they all serve their purpose. But there had to be that one, like you said, that one Batman, the quiet one, the stoic one, the serious one, the one that didn't joke. Funny things happened to him, but he wasn't funny.
Right. And I like how, you know, with your character as he was developing, I like the image that you share with us of your process of the 5%. Because one of the things that is very palpable throughout the series is how Fena acts like that release valve.
Yes.
With every episode, with every conversation, he's literally allowing him to open up a side of himself that he kept away for 10 years because of the time without her or waiting for her. Like he just became someone else, and now he's starting to come out of his shell because he found her.
Exactly. You know,
without
chipping away at him. You know,
exactly.
Just her presence and who she is.
Yeah.
You know, just that constantly being around her chips his armor, you know, his metaphorical armor. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great project. I mean, Production IG is phenomenal. I love everything. Oh, yeah. A lot of the stuff that they put out there.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite scene?
Oh God, that's.
I had to do it.
You can't. It's ask my job, me that, man. You can't. It's ask my job. That. My favorite. Oh, dude.
Or one. Or you can do a couple. Or a fight. Like favorite moments.
All right, a couple. Okay, I'll go with a couple because it's really hard. And the thing is, like, they are my favorites for very different reasons. Right, you know, right. Like cool. My first favorite. Is the first time that you see Yukimaru come into action, which I think was episode 3 when he's saving Fena and the twins from the pirates.
Yes.
When he just shows up and just takes out those 8 characters in like just one fell swoop. And even the pirates were like, he just murdered 8 dudes in 8 seconds. What was that? Like, he came in like a tornado. Yep. And I love that part because it just shows how incredible of a ninja he actually is. Like, let's not forget, you know, yeah, it sucks that he got stuck on the boat. He was very upset. It was very funny. And I think that's what I like about that episode too, is because when it starts, it's him being pissed off. He's like, I set up this game so that I could get off this stupid boat and I still lost because I suck. You know, like, oh, like, it can't be funnier. Like, that's too damn funny.
It's like I'm and stuck here playing janitor.
Yeah, like I'm with this damn dog. It's not even mine, you know? So I thought that was hilarious. To then end it with him coming to save the day and, like, really showing his stuff, I thought was just it's such a great – it's just so awesome seeing those two sides of him. Not to mention ending that scene – with her touching his hand and him basically ninja vanishing, you know, hard stage right so that she didn't touch him anymore as he's like bleeding and he's just looking at her. And then they focus on, you know, the blushing ears. And then you're like, oh,
yeah. That whole thing about him blushing in the ears only.
That's his only tell. His only tell. The man is, you know, he's like Achilles, except he has no heel. It's his ears. His ears give him away.
Is that why Batman only shows his mouth?
Why he keeps it under the cowl. So he keeps it under the cowl. When his ears blush, you can't tell. But yeah, what were you going to say?
Yeah, do you have anything else before I ask that? Sorry.
Oh, let's see. So I would say that one. When Fena screamed for Yukimaru on the boat and he's like, you know, basically sailing his way towards her on a piece of wood in his tiny canoe. When she screams his name and he just, you know, Batman shoots out of the water and lands on the boat. I thought that was pretty amazing. Sucks though.
Because
then he got shot, you know, spoiler alert for whoever hasn't seen it. you know, so that was a really great scene. Just that entrance, you know, I said it, you know, in the series, nobody had better entrances than Yukimaru did.
Oh, no way.
That, and then, episode 12, and I can't speak for Brittany, but I know that it was for both of us. It was, it took a lot when, she basically, you know, because the thing is, like, we both had heavy moments in episode 12 because you know, she had the heavy moment when she was coming to grips with her, you know, her mission basically, and her having to make this final decision, and that breakdown she did was you know, big. But then when she made the decision, then the shift, then it shifted from her having trouble dealing with it with now Yukimaru having to deal with it, and to be a character who's basically had his shit together up until this point to then just finally like lose it, like he lost it because he was losing her and he finally was coming to grips with that, and to drop that Yukimaru facade to finally just kind of, you know, pour it all out was, it was tough, man. It was tough, you know, full disclosure while recording it, you know, I had tears in my eyes while doing it because it was just so, you know, to get there, you really got to push yourself to that point. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it was interesting. And then watching the episode, because again, when I recorded it first, so I didn't get to hear Brittany. But Brittany got to hear me. And I told her, you know, it was funny. I texted her actually after I recorded mine. And I was like, yo, when you record episode 12, I'm sorry. And she was like, what? And I was like, just, I went for it. And yeah, it's going to be heavy. She was like, okay. She finished her session and she just sent me crying emoji emoticons, you know, in a text. And I was just like, I know. She was like, oh my God, you killed me. I was like, yeah. But seeing it come together, I was like, man, I'm so happy that we both were, we, you know, as actors, we weren't scared to go there, because I really felt like it made for an extremely powerful moment in episode 12, which was important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely showed.
So I would say those are probably my tops.
Awesome.
Isaac? Then I have one question for you, which is also sort of like we asked Ryan when it comes to My Hero Academia, but what is it with the Fenna Pirate Princess that you think connected with so many people?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I mean, there was a lot of things. I mean, I wouldn't say it was it definitely wasn't, you know, it's an original anime, but it wasn't necessarily doing a lot of story things that were brand new. You know, you had Yukimaru, who everybody was like, that guy's like, especially after the first episode, they were like, whoa, tsundere, like all the way, this guy, you know what I mean? And that's what he turned out to be. But they still, even though they saw that, they still loved him for it. I'm not really sure. I mean, I think that's kind of an answer that's different for everybody, really. But you know, cause some of the characters you can relate to, some characters you feel like can be like you, some characters you enjoy because you would love to know them. I just think there's different. I think it's different for everybody, really.
Yeah. It's one of those shows that, even though it has what you would like anything, there's no new stories, right? So like,
right. Everything's just kind of, you know, modified to a capacity, but
exactly. It's original enough.
Wise, it's, a lot of the things are kind of the same.
Right. It's endearing. The characters are endearing enough. They're well performed and correct. They're well constructed for the story they want to tell. That's what you're, this is the kind of show that survives because of such great characters.
Exactly.
And great interactions. That's what makes it. Because and the world is simple. And I like the fact that the world doesn't go too crazy. I mean, of course, towards the end, it gets very fantastical.
Yeah. But after like episode 9, it's kind of like, what's going on?
Yeah. But I like how when it gets there, they just go for it and move on.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Scared to go there. And I love that.
And it was great. Like, that's cool. And that's what you expect from an anime.
Well,
to go that way.
Exactly. Like you would hope that you're seeing them just kind of be like, go balls to the wall, you know, not playing it safe.
Yeah.
Totally.
And you know what's crazy? Now I want to ask you a question. Now, before streaming, right? Mm-hmm. Before Netflix became the dome of anime that is slowly becoming now, I think at least you and I live in the States. I don't know in case of Isaac because he's been watching anime since the womb, apparently. which it's like we know that the place to go see anime 20 years ago was Adult Swim,
right?
That was the place.
Yeah. That's how I got into anime was coming home after, you know, after high school. Mind you, this is 23 years ago.
Yeah.
And me going home because I had to take the train home. I needed to make sure I took the right train home because if not, I was going to get home after 5 where I would miss Dragon Ball Z and Gundam Wing, you know.
And that can't happen.
And that couldn't happen. You kidding me? I had to watch that, you know, undisturbed. And then I went and I did my homework after the fact, you know, but that's how I got introduced to anime was, or at least, you know, regularly. Cause I did watch Fist of the North Star prior to that. Mm-hmm. Still my favorite movie, hands down, after Street Fighter. So, I mean, I had seen those, but you know, to see an anime series, that was my first.
Right. And how does it feel being part of that roster now? Like the idea, you know what I mean? Like,
it's
one of those full circle moments. I can only imagine. Like,
it is crazy. It is crazy.
Yeah,
you know, when I first posted that I was going to be part of the project, you know, I was going to just do the usual, like, hey, you know, check out this project that I'm working on, you know, blah, 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 blah. But when I really sat and thought about it, I was like, whoa, this is an Adult Swim original anime. This is like a block that I used to watch when I was a kid, when I was in a 14, 15. I'm 38 right now. And now I'm participating in something that still exists from my childhood. And that's kind of insane. You know, that's kind of wild. It's I'm not going to say it's hard to wrap your head around it, but it is a bit of a mind screw. to be like, whoa, I used to watch this religiously as a, you know, young actor, and now I'm acting in something that's in this block of, you know, entertainment that I used to enjoy as well. It's crazy. It's pretty crazy.
And it makes us realize how big anime is getting, because Adult Swim used to just have shorts. It would only have American or Western produced content, and it will grab anime from across the seas and put them on there. But now they're like, no, we got to make our own stuff.
We're making our own
exclusive stuff and partnering with Crunchyroll and all that stuff.
Yeah,
it's so awesome. I love how when we started doing this, Isaac, and I remember when we brought you in for the first episode that we did with you, it was all about making people know, hey, anime's out there. And I was like, no, now we're one of many. Because anime is there and is here to stay. And
it is.
I'm so excited to be able to talk to you about all that. So,
yeah, no, it's awesome, man. And, you know, I appreciate you guys having me on. You know, it's such an interesting ride. And it's funny, too, because of the perspective that there is out there. Cause you know, I did this project and everybody's kind of like, whoa, this is like your career making move. And it's kind of like, I'm actually extremely well established. It's just, you don't know what I do because I mostly do commercials, you know what I mean? And nobody knows me for that work. You know, that's not something anybody knows anybody for. Like, seriously, like, you happen to know who if they're not a celebrity, you know who the Verizon guy is? Like, no, of course not. You know? So it's funny to, you know, to see how that perspective kind of exists out there, because it's almost like, oh, he's a new voice actor, but he's not. He's actually been doing this for just 8 years now.
Just because you're not decade. Just because you're not Flo for Progressive.
Yeah, doesn't exactly.
Mean you haven't been around.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So it's like, you know, I'm not new to voice acting, but I am, you know, I am firmly now planted in the anime realm, which is nice.
Yeah.
You know? And it wasn't anything that I was necessarily trying hard to do, because, you know, I keep myself open to all types of voice acting. You know, there isn't any one that I'm trying to crack into, but if the opportunities are there, you know, and I have the opportunity to at least audition, you know, I always go jump on it. And to be able to be cast in something like this was, you know, it's mind blowing. It's pretty mind blowing.
Yeah. I remember when I tweeted to you before when you had changed your profile pic before the announcement was, that looks like a project. AGV production.
Yeah. Talk about hitting the nail on the head on that one.
I mean,
that looks
Isaac.
Like production ID art if I ever saw it.
that was like Isaac going, yeah. Hey, Rob. So,
I mean, awesome. I'm, like I said, and like you guys said, I haven't seen a lot of anime, so I can recognize some art styles. That's at this point. But I think I thought it was just a fine coincidence, nonetheless.
So to start getting to the, I don't want it to end, but we don't want to take you forever, right?
No, it's all good.
We have a couple of Twitter questions that we'd like to share with you. And
sweet.
So you ready for this?
I guess as ready as I'll ever be.
Okay, so we have a question from at Jermaine Neuiva on Twitter, and he asked, do you have any tips for recording in a studio?
I guess I would have a rebuttal question, because would that be a studio in your house or a studio like in an actual studio? But I guess this would be all encompassing. Tips for recording in a studio. Make sure you have a liquid that that will keep your, you know, your mouth and your vocal cords nice and lubricated, but that doesn't mess with your sound, whatever that liquid is. A lot of people will be quick to say water. Some people don't like water. Some people prefer tea. Some people are work totally well with drinking coffee or soda. I mean, you drink whatever it is you need to drink, but make sure you have some kind of liquid there. Another one, make sure you have tissues. Tissues are always good because you never know when you got a cough or a sneeze or blow your nose, because it happens sometimes when you're using your voice for a very long time. That ENT part of your face, you know, starts to, you know, move, shift things around. So always good to have tissues nearby. Other than that, this is something I've always been complimented on, is, when the director's directing, you know, you keep your mouth shut, let them do their thing, take the direction and go for it. Not to say that you should not be empowered to take chances, but do what the director says first. And after you finish that, then tell them that you have an idea and then you go for it. I think that's the most respectful way to work in tandem with a director. So, I would say those are probably my biggest tips.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So we got also next question. Mm-hmm. Michael Thomas, our good friend at the at Nova Cinephile.
Michael Thomas, yeah.
He has the following tweet. He goes, man. Who is Rob Murray Ravio? I need those juicy details like your favorite food, color, and last digits of your social security number.
Wow.
But then he goes, in all seriousness, of course, Michael, I'm trying to emulate you. his actual question is, what was your favorite part of working on this project specifically?
Oh man. All right, that's a tough one. Because it was, I mean, there's so many aspects of it that were amazing. I guess my favorite part was how together everybody was. I had never been in a project that had so many, you know, and not just actors, but like actors and production people involved that got so close to while the project was actually being done. Like, obviously, you know, Brittany and I and, you know, Daryl and Alan, like we all got really close while the show was being done and also being released. But besides that, I got really close with our director, you know, Michael. He was just he taught me a lot, you know, and that's another thing. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing things, you know, there's always room to get schooled. And he opened my eyes to a lot while directing me, which is really great. And just, you know, showing me different ways to get to where we needed Yukimaru to be. So being able to work with somebody of his caliber was fantastic, because I had heard about Michael for quite a bit. So being able to work with him was that was actually a pretty great honor, especially since we both went to the same high school. Awesome. Not at the same time, but we both come from the same high school, which is really cool. Getting really cool with Maki. She was amazing. She worked for Production IG, and she was just such a sweetheart throughout the entire process. And she and I, we still tweet and Instagram and message each other. But yeah, I mean, just that closeness, that togetherness that we all developed during this project. I've literally worked on no project that has made me feel this close to people I did not see in person.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Take that, Mike. No.
How's that for an answer?
Of course, it's Social Security now. Okay. Well. So next question.
Yeah.
Next question comes from our friend Sierra, the Sleepless Girl. Sierra underscore A727. Mm-hmm. She wants to know, Rob, who is a character or characters in the show that you relate the most and why?
I feel, see, it's hard because they're kind of like archetypes, really, but I feel like I really relate to Tsubaki as the, you know, as that kind of, I don't want to say fatherhead figure, but like in terms of like a group dynamic, I'm usually the one that's kind of like, okay, guys, get it together. We got stuff to do, you know? So I feel a little bit of that. Plus I love cooking. So, you know, I relate there. Who else? And what can I say? I'm as cool as Shiton. So there you go.
See, now the funny thing is, because you've said this, once this goes live, you're gonna now, since you already did the pose with the Yukimaru look, now you gotta let the hair and go the Shiton route.
You're right, probably blow dry
your hair and just...
there you go. I'm just gonna have to stand looking pretty with, you know, throw on a kimono and be like, what's up, y'all, I'm here.
Hey, so.
No. But I love the twins. I think the twins, as goofy as they are, there's definitely a part of me that's just as goofy as they are. So that's awesome. The twins. Their humor was totally my humor.
I kind of want to see more of Karin. Like, I want to hear.
Oh,
like,
man, she's so awesome.
Yeah, like whenever she starts talking about all the tech stuff, and then she goes like, you know what? I'm not gonna waste my time. You're not gonna get what I'm gonna say. Like, she doesn't just mumble. She just goes like, she gives you a little bit and goes like, if I keep going, you're not gonna understand it. So let's just move on.
Yeah,
she's so cool.
That question is makes this question also as a follow-up work pretty well, because Fenna herself wanted to ask you a question. How does he manage to be so cool all the time?
Oh, Brittany, stop it. I can't with her.
Brittany Cox at Brittany C. Cox. How does he manage to be so cool all the time?
Brittany is, she's such a sweetheart. She's awesome. She's awesome. Like, she's honestly like I she's so such a true blue, sweet, sweet person. You know, I'm so happy that she and I, we got to, you know, get to know each other so much better. But yeah, she rocks. And I'm not cool. I'm not cool, Brittany. You're cool. There you go. That's my answer.
You're both cool. My God.
Yeah, she also was one of my favorite characters in the latest Fire Emblem game.
So. There you go. Yeah, she's a rock star in the voice game, man. That's for sure.
But
that's
awesome. But then, no, she's totally right. You are cool, buddy.
Yeah.
Just face
you guys are crazy.
So
no, we're not. Okay. So I think I might be crazy considering my nickname, but that's besides the point.
The Mad Dog. So I think we got two more questions, and this one comes from a Sky Girl Koshore.
Sky Girl. So she's awesome. She's awesome. She's been hardcore diehard Yukimaru Fenna ship since the beginning. She's been amazing.
I like her Twitter name, Yukimaru's Red
Ears. I'm telling you, she's put up some of the funniest tweets. She's put up reactions. She's done reaction videos to the episodes, and she's awesome. I've loved everything she's been doing for the show. She's been super cool.
So let's show her some love. She's asking you, Rob, what storyline would you like to see Yukimaru have if there were to be a season two?
Honestly, I would love to see, I wouldn't say I have specifics in mind, but I would really love to see some kind of static between him and Shiton's brother Kai.
Yeah.
I would love to see some static there. I think that would be so bad. It would, like, just put it this way. Can you imagine, like, a no joke badass sword fight between those two under production IG's animation?
Yes.
Like, yo.
Now, I need it now.
We need to see that. We need to see that.
And you know that was my one disappointment? Because I know that wasn't the goal of the series. And I get it. Mm. And I'm good with that. I'm a big boy. But when you tease the fact that Kay, and then the conversation, like, do you think he can beat you? I'm like, oh my God. I need to see this.
But you know what? I do like that, though, because because they didn't go there, it does leave it open. Because if the season two does happen, then, hey, I mean, You never know. You know, shit could go left. You know what I mean? Yep. It could happen. Yep. But I think that would be really cool. I would love to see Yukimaru get into, get into some conflict with non-gun users, Abel. Freaking guy. Yes. Freaking Yukimaru's a damn bullet sponge, all right? Can we get some dudes with swords? Hello? Hello? Anybody?
Maybe some small daggers.
Sheesh. My goodness. Even a ninja star, but why always the bullets? Anyway.
Yeah. And you know,
I think
cool.
That would be cool. I would like to see some static between those guys. I mean, when the show ended, it seemed like, Kay was happy that Shitan gave him that sword that he found. And he was kind of like, okay, cool. Clan's happy, I guess. But I would like to see something, happen there. I think that'd be cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. Mentor versus mentee. I think that'd be cool.
That is the greatest answer you've given, because you spoke to my heart, Rob. Now, I think we got a final question.
Yeah, man. Uh-huh.
To start wrapping this up. And I think this is a very interesting one. And you kind of talked about it a little bit, but this one's a little bit more specific in terms of your process into building your version of Yukimaru. Mm. And it comes from Muse Yip.
Muse. Yes.
Yeah. Muse off. At MYMuseyIp 1995 MI.
Muse
on Twitter.
Muse has been very, very, very sweet. They've been super cool on Twitter as well.
Awesome. Yeah. So he wants to know. He says, "This is awesome. Hi, Rob. How did you craft Yukimaru's voice?"
Good question. Good question. Well, I did have a bit of a template that I kind of worked off of before I, went into more subtle nuances and intricacies for him, which is kind of really, at that point, intention, and what's going on at the moment really kind of shifts where his voice goes. But ultimately, my template, and Brandon, get ready to laugh.
Okay.
But my template, if you've heard of any of my fan stuff that I've created on my own, was my version of Batman.
Of course.
So, nice. Yeah, my Batman voice was the template for Yukimaru.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. I think that answers the epic question that everybody has. The answer is yes. Everyone has a Batman.
Yeah, everybody has a Batman. And if you listen to Yukimaru, that is my Batman.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Look at you crossing the streams, you Ghostbuster.
I know. It's funny because, like, it was just the voice that made sense, And it's not a voice that I'm, particularly known for. So I was kind of like, no, I think this is a great base. And then from here, I can kind of build Yukimaru to who he is. Because obviously what's different is that it's not as gravelly. Mm-hmm. It's not so low. And there is while it is low in my chamber, there's a youthfulness to it still.
Because he's not old.
Yeah, because he's not old.
Yeah.
By any stretch, while Batman always, I always kept him in a very low tone throughout, whatever I did. So there were differences, but that was kind of like the template that I worked off of, which is a great trick for any voice actor, really. If there's voices that you can do very well, you can always take those voices and use them as templates for future characters. It's just, modifying certain things. Maybe the way they say their S's is different. Mm-hmm. Maybe the way they pronounce certain words is different. Whatever the case may be, you create that. But that's the easiest way to build a character, is usually off of a template or a bad impression, which I'm a master at.
That's awesome.
I'm a master of bad impressions, because if you hear my impressions, you'd be like, I don't know who that is, and I'd be like, good, because that's going to be an original character one day. Even though in my head it's totally rehashed.
nice. So I have one more question, but Isaac, go ahead.
We just got a question also.
Nice.
From M. Also, it looks like, and leaves Michaelias.
Oh yeah, Michaela, she's the bomb.
Yeah, she asked. This is hard trying to think of any question, but what would Yukimaru's hobbies be?
Oh, good question. That's a very good question. Well, I mean, again, Yukimaru is a master of his craft. So presumably, and he actually showed it a little bit when he gave Fena the dagger at the
in episode one.
He's very adept at making very good blades. So that I would definitely say that is a hobby of his, which you can kind of tell from every character. Every character has like their thing. Mm-hmm. That would definitely be his is blades. You know, he is kind of the bladesmith in terms of creating, proper weaponry of that type. He loves those rice cakes.
yes.
He's all about those things. Hates the plum. Don't give him the plum. But he loves them, so clearly he enjoys eating. I'm sure even though they didn't show it, he probably loves tasting Tsubaki's cooking, I'm sure. I would say those would probably be his main hobbies that I can think of. I think he's very much a guy that is all about his sword. He lives by the sword, and he plans to, at some point die by the sword. So I think he keeps himself in a fighting shape at all times. So he probably works out very regularly as well.
That's an awesome question.
Yeah.
Thanks for catching, Isaac.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Isaac, do you have any more questions for him before I throw in my last one?
No, I don't have any more questions as far as I know.
So I just thought about this one because the news came out pretty violently and recently. Mm. And you know that I've joined the fray of Gundam builders.
Yes.
I've been building my own. I'm not a painter. I won't paint them because I know I'll ruin them, but I'll make sure to put the stickers on them. But so you know that it is the picture is circling that Jordan Vogt Roberts is working on the Gundam movie.
Mm, mm-hmm.
So imagine that an anime of Gundam is coming out and you can pick any character in the series. Who would you voice?
Wait, like any Gundam?
Any Gundam.
Like any Gundam series?
Like, yeah, let's say, what is your favorite Gundam series? And if you had an opportunity to voice a character, who would you voice?
Oh, hands down. It would be Gundam Wing, and I would voice Duo Maxwell.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's Death Scythe, right?
Yeah. He piloted the Death Scythe.
Very nice.
Yeah,
very
that's an easy question. my answer will never change. Don't get me wrong. Like, Gundam Wing was absolutely my favorite. Now, in terms of, like, Gundams, of the actual mechs, I do have specific favorites, like from Iron Blooded Orphans, the Barbados is freaking phenomenal. That's a sick,
it's one of the, it's Gundam. One of the more unique.
So different looking. I love the Talgis. Specifically Talgis too. But again, this is going back into the Gundam Wing. But I think everything that was in the Endless Waltz of Gundam Wing was incredible. In my head, there is no cooler looking Gundam than all the Gundams in the Endless Waltz.
Yeah. And I
have Wing Zero was just like jaw dropping. It's a jaw dropping design.
Yes.
Also we got a second question from Yukimaru's Red Ears. Is there any special about voicing Yukimaru that stands out from all the various work you've done?
Oh, sorry. What was the question again?
Yukimaru's Red Ears ask, is there anything about voicing Yukimaru that stands out from all the various work you've done?
Great question. Damn, Sky Girl is coming in with the good ones. Probably the fact that there was no expectation, because like the thing is, at least for me, I'm not gonna presume to speak for everyone, but when you're reading something that has no other media, you give whatever it is that you're reading voices, so like if you're reading Attack on Titan, the characters on there sound a specific way in your head, so there's not necessarily an expectation, but you kind of feel like they probably sound a certain way. Like you can't help it. You know, it's what helps you make the story make sense in your head. With Fena being completely original, in there being no expectations of how Yukimaru should sound, I think that also made it even more difficult, because it's completely new, you know, and hopefully that what I craft and what the director helps me hone is appropriate for what we're doing, and hopefully people enjoy it. And I think that's extremely special because, while I did already have some kind of template, in terms of his tone, there's no template for how the character is going to feel moving forward, because how does this, you know, now modified template sound when he's angry? How does this modified template sound when he's being extremely heartfelt? What does that sound like? What does it sound like when he's, you know, making a perfect example, the Knight's Vow? You know, what would that sound like? He's not going to be hard. He's not going to be stoic when he says this. His tone is going to remain the same, but the words are going to be softer because he's making such a deep promise to this character that he still can't admit, not even to her, but to himself, how much he cares about her. What does that sound like? And then at the end, when he really loses it, what does that sound like? What does it sound like for this character to be absolutely just desperate? Like, his reason for this mission, which we already established prior in the conversation, is everything to him. When that reason is now slipping through his fingers and he finally came to, you know, grips with saying like, no, I'm always going to be here, for her to now forget who she was. He's going to lose all of that. That was no small feat. For him to be that vulnerable is huge. It's mind rocking. It's world rocking for him. What does that sound like? So being able to create all of that with the director was, it's incredible. It's an incredible opportunity as an actor to be able to work on a character that has so many shades of one color, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because it's easy to say he's one note, but he's not. He actually has shades of that one note. And discovering that is special, you know.
Yeah.
Also, I just remembered something.
Mm-hmm.
Remember you writing about how this role included you singing for the first time in a foreign role.
Yes. Oh, that was probably the most nerve-wracking part of the entire thing. I don't consider myself a singer at all. So
would you even be in a band?
I was in a death metal band, so yeah, I wouldn't call screaming, you know, my head off singing per se. I mean, I will say it is singing, you know, respect the craft, but this is a very different kind of singing. So, I was nervous. I was nervous because I didn't know I was going to be doing that until I was recording the episode. So that had
been a curveball of the rainy.
Oh, I was sweating bullets. I was sweating bullets in my booth. We had the tune, and I just kind of went for it. You know what I mean? Again, it's that other shade. You know, what does it sound like when this character, you know, lets go a little bit,
right?
And you know, show some vulnerability.
It has to be very, very hard to do also because of the type of character that it is. Like,
yes,
him singing is adding so many layers to how much he's holding back.
So many layers. Because this is a guy that his tone of voice rarely shifted except like when he got angry and that was about it. to now he's singing, not even singing in, you know, singing lighter than his normal speaking voice. It was like, whoa, okay, all right, we're doing this. So yeah, I just kind of had to, you know, really just go for it. You know, I had to, you know, put my reservations at bay and just really go for it and trust that I, you know, I was going to do it correctly.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome.
Also, we just got another question from, I saw you liking it, Crimson Age, Fenton Amari's Endgame.
Yeah, Crimson. Yeah, she's another really another big fan of the show who I've been in contact with pretty regularly as well. She's awesome.
Yeah, and she asked, thank you for allowing us to ask questions. So here's mine. What is it like interacting with fans?
Oh, it's been amazing. I mean, truth be told, like, honestly, I wish everybody could have, you know, fans like the Fena fans, especially like the Fenamaru fans have been incredible.
He's using the name.
Yeah, Fenamaru, man. Yo, I'm telling you, Crimson, she's been killer. Sky Girl, I mean, she's been phenomenal as well. They were probably the first two that I really got into contact early on in the show, but Michaela's been awesome. Katya has been awesome. There's just so many people who have been really cool. There's this other fan who she has a YouTube channel, Angela, who she's been doing like reaction videos and stuff. She's been really cool. Muse has been awesome. I mean, it's hard to name all of them, but it's been great. Everybody's been so cool, so incredibly gracious and kind. I can only wish that everybody that works on any IP that has any kind of fandom have fans as cool as the ones that I've had the opportunity to interact with.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Isaac, I think that's all we got. What do you think?
Yeah. And well, if we get anything more, well, you are in the thread.
Yeah. But you'll see it.
Sure thing. Sure thing. Yeah. I mean, if I see anything after we hop off, I'll definitely pop in and answer.
That's awesome. Yeah. Now, Rob, thank you so much for being here with us, having an awesome conversation about your work and experience in Fena, Pirate Princess. You did an awesome job, and we're really ecstatic that we know a star now. but you have a lot of great stuff in the works, I know. I know this is just the first of many awesome more roles to come.
Yeah,
where can people find you and see your stuff?
Yeah, I mean, if you just put, I mean, not to sound like a big deal, but literally, if you Google my name, like, I'm like the first three or four pages of Google, so I'm pretty easy to find. But if you just do at Rob Moreira VO on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you'll find me pretty easily.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah. Isaac, where can people find you, brother?
Well, you can find me over at Emblemaniac on Twitter, and you can find my work over at the Boba Entertainment, and you can find the pod at Amateur Talk Pod.
And you can find me on Twitter at the Scarlet Fan 52 and on Instagram at the Scarlet Fan 52. Also, know that the Amateur Otaku is available on YouTube. Make sure you click on the like button on our YouTube channel, click on the bell for notifications so you do not miss any episodes similar to this awesome interview with Rob Moreira. We have an awesome interview with the voice of Roddy Soul, Ryan Colt Levi, also coming up very soon from My Hero Academia World's Mission. And you can also find us. We have also My Hero Academia Vigilantes being recorded as well, right?
Yeah, with Leo and Leo Rydell and Michael Thomas.
Awesome. Awesome. We have also a lot of more great anime stuff coming through. JoJo Bizarre Adventure Season 2 is coming up very, very soon. We have other manga works and other things that we're going to be talking about in the channel. And don't forget, and if you don't want to listen, you don't have time to watch it on YouTube and want to listen to the podcast, the Amateur Talk podcast is available everywhere. Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, Stitcher, wherever podcasts are found. Thank you for joining us, guys. Have it awesome. We will see you next time. Peace.
Peace.